It's 5:30 in the morning on a Thursday in June. Blair Park sips her coffee and thinks about her husband spreading the thighs of another woman as wide as butterfly wings. She imagines him smelling her and then tasting her, his tongue circling, flicking. Blair's hand covers her mouth. She puts her cup down. She can't sleep. But she's been doing this in the morning now, indulging these obscene thoughts. Nothing feels good about starting her day like this, but it helps to satisfy her obsessive worrying so she can move on. Otherwise, she'll find herself consumed when she doesn't want to be, staring at the shelf of stain removers at the store, the ones in commercials that desexualize middle-aged, stay-at-home mothers like her, while she imagines a younger woman's mouth filled with her husband's semen. She pours a second cup that won't taste as good as the first and thinks about how hungry she is for something more. Although what, she can't name. The problem isn't just boredom or a wistful longing. Not her sedate 10-year marriage and the ticking clock to complete irrelevance. Is this normal? Is this how other women her age feel? The idea of saying any of this aloud to anybody makes her diaphragm tighten, more than usual. It's better to lift her chin and quietly face whatever hour is ahead of her, and the next hour after that, lest anyone suspect she's this miserable. It's beneficial for everyone, she knows, if the indifference takes over. If she soldiers on without the energy to care about what it is she really wants, or how she really feels when her alarm goes off in the morning. Vulnerability, she knows, is something she should work on. Something women are now supposed to exercise like a muscle. The books and the podcasts and motivational speakers have told them so. She tries to admire the ones who admit they've made choices they regret and resolve loudly to change. But that kind of upheaval is not for her. She cannot see any other life for herself, and she cannot separate the shame of having gotten it all so wrong. Another cup later, her daughter's bedroom door squeaks on its hinges upstairs. Her footsteps tap down the hard wood in the hallway, the toilet flushes in their only bathroom, and the plumbing hisses through the house. Blair wipes her hand across her tired face. Somewhere along the line, blaming Aiden for the way she felt about her life became convenient. He's been a reliable depository for her anger. She dumps and dumps and dumps, and he never seems to overflow. In her mind, there was little consequence to this. They are married, and separation isn't an option for Blair. The dismantling, the shape of everything changing, the perception, the impact on the daughter upstairs. She can't fathom it. The water runs from the bathroom tap. She hears Chloe pop open the mirrored cabinet where their three toothbrushes share a cup. She puts a bagel in the toaster for her daughter's breakfast. She's already taken the cream cheese out of the fridge so it's room temperature, the way Chloe likes it. Attributing her misery to an underperforming marriage had helped her cope well enough, until a week and a half ago, when she found a tiny piece of foil wrapper in the pocket of Aiden's jeans. Less than a square inch, garbage to any other person who was to pick it up from the laundry room floor after turning the pants inside out for the wash. But she recognized the texture of the ribs in the packaging, and the emerald jewel tone. It looked exactly like the condoms they used years ago. Every morning since she found it, she's opened the drawer where she keeps it and places it on her palm to wonder. There are countless other things it could be from. A granola bar, a mint from a business lunch. But more than any proof she has is a feeling.